gives her a whack. That's something. She's just talking to the car.
How are you?
I'm good.
Where are we at?
You're on the higher end.
Oh, I would
call this meeting to order.
Oh, my. You're on the higher end.
Oh, yeah.
140, who's president? Sure. Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Diller, Council Bell, McBell, Councilwoman Jane Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
Councilman Loretta, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Cartier, and Councilman Blunt. And my eight, Ruby Dillmore. Is there a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting?
So made.
Is there a second?
Second.
Move a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Moving right along. Update on Greenway 100 service. I thought you did that last week.
No, we canceled last week because I didn't want to be the bad guy. Everybody else canceled, so.
Yeah. I thought I'd missed that. Anyway.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry about the gas. And everything. I was under finance. You were supposed to be here. Yeah.
Who's gonna? I guess John.
Yep.
Are you
ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
John Husband, Special Services. We are here to give you an update on the Brandywine 100 sewer project, which has been going on for 12 years. The only people on this council that were here at that time were Councilman Hollins and Councilman Weiner from the very beginning. The rest of you are all very aware of this project, but what I wanted to do is a quick synopsis of how we got started, what we've done, and where we are today. Because I think you're going to find that we made a lot of good choices by funding our budgets and keeping certain people off our back so that we don't run into any problems. With that, we'll get right into this presentation. I can't read.
That's it. You're good.
There we go. All right, this is the 12th year status, our accomplishment summary. If you remember the Brandywine 100 back in the good old days, that is actually the intersection at Falk and Silverside Road.
Behind my house.
I mean, you're a little further than 12 years.
Main and Ford.
Is that you, Bob? Fucking cash.
See the water tower?
That's where Powers tracked.
I'm up there right now.
I can tell you, I don't have anything that small.
Actually, I climbed that water tower in high school.
I owned one of them about, rebuilt one of those right, in the back there.
This is not showing.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I know what it is. You said it's mine. I only owned it about 2 weeks and traded it off.
This is a current picture of Falk and Silverside. It's changed dramatically. The area population skyrocketed. Grew from Bloomington to the suburbs. That's where everything started. It was going up north. All the sewer systems were added on. If there was a 12-inch pipe, they just added the 12-inch for the next subdivision and on and on and on. They just piggybacked up. Initially, it was built by developers, and they actually discharged straight to the river with small wastewater treatment plants and to the streams. The first interceptors were built in the 40s and the 50s, and the current interceptor system, as we know it right now, is mostly 50s and 60s and 70s. The federal government gave us a grant to do relief discharges into the Delaware River. Believe it or not, they paid for them. There used to be 7. The days when we first started this project in 2000, actually this is 1999, lots of problems. The manholes were collapsing, lots of water coming into the pipe and not through normal means, as through breaks. We had lots of blockages. We had rodents, grease, roots, you name it. We also had broken pipes. This is actually a pipe where sewage had to flow. You can see how the joints are misaligned. We started out with deficiencies in the system that became more frequent and noticeable. We had an accelerated customer complaint system that was logged in, so we knew we were running into problems. And then one day we got this 308 letter. which is the EPA's precursor to a consent decree, which means they want all the information on your system. They want to look at it. So Tracy Searles was with us at the time, and she kind of tried to figure out exactly what it is they were looking for, and she loaded them up with about 8 boxes of information.
Mr.
on
Chair.
Our solar system.
Yes.
What year?
Three.
What? Are we going?
What year?
That was in 2001, I believe, is when we got that. At the same time, we knew the EPA was cracking down on other local municipalities, and other operators throughout the country were getting huge fines. Baltimore right now is over $1 billion. Miami-Dade County, Florida, 900 million. We held our system together pretty well, but within our budget constraints, we proactively enacted steps to come up with a program to improve and to try to thwart any efforts to pick apart our system. It was a joint effort between the administration and council, and we were pretty sound and defensible with our program as we put it together. And we actually called it the program. We funded it, and we got started. What we needed to do was a detailed inventory of the entire system. We needed to determine the age. We had to find out how it actually operated. We did detailed reconnaissance of how it functioned. We did a lot of flow monitoring. We did logical formulation of potential remedies. The asterisk, which I'll get back to. The prioritization of the projects, which then became the plan. We designed and implemented the projects. Effectiveness modeling was then a part of the plan to determine whether our remedies were working, and then implementation of an asset management program to make sure we never ran into this problem again. We did a forensic investigation, and we did diurnal day and night readings, we did nighttime base readings, storm events, smoke testing, CCT investigation, visual inspections, and interviews with our longtime staff. And what that did was give us kind of a base of what we were working off of.
Who's that guy in the right bottom corner?
I think that's Councilman Shelton.
He wasn't here then.
Some of the attributes of the investigation was it identified specific issues, it allowed us to develop a master plan, it ranked our priorities, and it provided sequences, gave us a logical path to implement, and it gave us a basis for the biggest bang for the buck. Even though you saw huge budget items in our capital, we designed it so as to get the most impact for those dollars. This is what we really found after we did all the monitoring investigation. The green is the base flow. The blue is a rainstorm. And you can see after a rainstorm, our base flow went way up and came down. Dave Hofer gave you many questions on that. That was a fine example of a problem with the system. Our program, we detailed the entire system. We determined its age. We looked at the operations. I'll go back to the asterisk. We got the secretary's order, came in 2003. So we bought some time with the 308 letter and giving lots of information. Secretary's order told us that we had to eliminate the CSO structures in the Brandywine 100. There were 2 left out of the 7 that were originally constructed. We had to remove Delaware County Sewer Authority from our system, and then we had to make certain improvements to our sewer system. We had to replace the Stony Creek pump station. We had to do manhole evaluations and develop dynamic modeling, et cetera, et cetera. We had to minimize the countywide sanitary sewer overflows. We had to come up with SSO response procedures, come up with a fat soils and grease program, do a capacity management operation and maintenance program, which is the CMOM, which has been presented to you. We had to do extensive maintenance to our pump stations and to the treatment plants. Now, back to the presentation. That secretary's order kind of put a roadblock in our way. The investigation and analysis led to our plan. Our plan was devised to strategically perform the projects, which means that the big reduction of INI at the lowest cost. That was the whole idea. To do that, we did not subscribe to the parts replacement theory. Everybody knows if some of the mechanics you take your car to, they'll just start replacing parts. It gets real expensive. Somebody does a diagnostic test, you can save a lot of money. Because of the forensic investigation we did, we came up with an original project priority map. We've presented this to you before. Everything in red was first priority, green was second priority. Where have we come? These are the completed projects that we've done so far. That first priority project was 97 projects, and of those 97, there's actually 227 individual parts. Meaning that just because SP24, test and seal, or Upper Valley run was one project, there were many parts to that, such as the lining and the lateral replacement. This is an idea of the project, or not an idea, this is the actual projects we've completed up through February of 2012. We've just completed the North Delaware Interceptor. Councilman Cartier is very happy about that. Now the traffic can flow in front of the post office. These are the projects that are now under construction. $36.6 million. About 4 weeks ago, it was another $17 million because of the Northern Delaware, which put us up to $45 million, $50 million in projects ongoing. So a lot of construction work going on at the same time. Projects that are currently being bid right now are up here, and there's six of those, totaling $13.8 million. But I want to show you what doing those projects has done to this priority map. This goes back to 2006 when we first started our construction and what we have completed. Everything that turns purple has been done. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We virtually eliminated all the priority one projects. They are in some form either completed, under construction, or ready to go out to bid or in the design phase. How much did we spend? $100.842 million since we started, and that's the breakdown by year. You can see when we geared up in 2000 and through 2012. What does it mean? It's a lot of money. We developed the CMOM program. We instituted an aggressive fats, oils, and grease program. We instituted an aggressive root control program. We instituted trunk line preventive maintenance. We did the CCT investigations program. We reconstructed a bigger and better Stony Creek pump station. We developed a dynamic hydraulic model. We have achieved 50 to 80% INI reduction. In the early years, we were arguing over whether we should use 0 to 35% as our base. We have reduced basement backups by 40 to 50%. We reduced our SSOs by 40 to 50%. We eliminated the flows at ND7. Which was the overflow up by Neyman's Road. We have significantly reduced the flows at ND34 and feel we are on the cusp of zero flow breakthrough. That's 7 years early compared to the Secretary's order. We eliminated our routine residence calls from the community of Brandywood. Councilman Weiner knows all the calls that come in, the people pleading with us from Brandywood. We have received zero calls from them now.
That's a blessing.
And as soon as we get this one, this is kind of a rough one for Councilman Weiner and us in the county. Upon completion of the current construction project, which is the one in Surrey Park, the flows in Tarleton, we won't be getting our calls, which will hamper our social life. We've actually had such a relationship with those residents. They have invited some of our staff to their daughter's wedding.
Question.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Surrey Park, I've become friends with, or enemies to the folks that live in there as well, as you know. When is the new date today, as of today, that the project will be completed? And then, of course, we need to rebuild the streets and their yards and all those curbs and...
Walking out of there, the plan says for August.
Right.
But we're slowly getting that narrowed down where maybe June.
That's for this county to get out. Then the rebuild of the... It looks like World War III in there.
No, that's restored done for us.
What about the streets and the
Well, Del Dot gets in there to do the rest of the streets.
Okay, so the Del Dot would start presumably in June.
Probably.
Okay.
Or sooner. Because we're talking possibly being completely done in June. They may get in there earlier to do the streets.
Okay, because there's issues as about percentages of the street that need to be paid for by the contractor and by the state. Had that been worked out?
State Representative Short has given money to Del Dot to give to us to do further improvements on Coachman's Road.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Morrissey brought up other streets that are not necessarily issues that we need to involve ourselves with right now. We'll have to wait to see how that plays out with Del Dot.
All right, so have we responded to Mr. Morrissey, Dr. Morrissey, Professor Morrissey?
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yes.
We're leaving it with that one.
Thanks, yeah.
The ND7 flows, probably the most important, were the two overflows from the Secretary's order. It was abandoned in 2006. The ND34 flows, this is where it's actually the access to it, which is in the median of the Governor Prince Boulevard. I just put this in as a fine example of brickwork. That's actually the access down to ND34. And for those who are not sure what ND34 overflow really is, the main flow of the pipe of the water that goes through down to the Stony Creek pump station runs in this channel right here. If the pipe can't handle all the flows, it goes over this weir and into this chamber here, which then flows backwards and over to the outflow pipe. What we've recently done because of the storm that just came in, we raised the weir an additional 2.5 inches, which is this layer of bricks right here, which was put on top of the wall there. The reason we did that is during the hurricane, our new Stony Creek pump station, we gave it authorization to pump up to 45 million gallons a day. We only had to get it up to 30. That's because we couldn't get enough flows hydraulically down through the pipe here. And the weir was too low and it allowed the flows to go over top of it. By raising it 2.5 inches, we may have solved that issue. So not knowing for sure during that hurricane, we may not have had any flows through any 34. What we're gonna do is additional monitoring to see what takes place during these spring rains. That's gonna be the key. And what that proves is the work that was done at Stony Creek Pump Station, the recently completed Councilman Carter, the North Delaware, and then the Governor Prince, which is under construction right now, should alleviate those flows.
What year was that pump station put in?
That's not a pump station.
Or whatever it is.
That's an overflow that was put in the 60s or 70s. That was actually paid for with EPA funds. Then EPA came back and said you have to take them out with your own funds.
Hmm. Question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Councilman Moore.
Last time I went into the pump station with you, it was about 2001, and we walked down three levels. Is it deeper than it was 10 years ago, the new pump station at Stony Creek?
It's deeper, the wet well. You saw the wet well.
Yes.
But it's got a lot more pumps. It's twice the size. It went from 19 to 45 gallons per day. Remember, we had this in the beginning, exposed metal reinforcement bars in the pipe, broken pipe, infiltration pouring in, collapsed pipe, and now we have this good clean sewer pipe in most of the area, which used to be full of grease. And our clean out installation methods Sometimes the people in Surrey Park think that's the piece of equipment we've been using.
Mr. Morrissey would like you to airlift that in every day?
That is a real piece of equipment. It is in Europe. It wouldn't fit on any of the boats coming over. But sometimes that's what we feel like we're using in some of these jobs. But in actuality, what we're doing is using this. For all those laterals we're replacing in the front yards of these homes, that's the damage that we do. It's a little hole, and you can see they protect the sides, and they can put in these lateral cleanouts with very minimal damage. Capacity and system operation has improved so much that we no longer hope for the best during a rainstorm. It used to be that before we knew a rain was coming, the guys would go out and start cleaning pipes ahead of time. We don't have to do that any longer. There's your information on there. The Stonebury Pump Station 1945. And our old method of sewer capacity analysis calculation has improved from this, where everybody, we just would sit around and do our spin. Somebody asked for sewer capacity. It was always no. And it was always a big problem with the sewer. Or we were on lunch and we just didn't want to be bothered. But we've actually improved it now through this program to this. And you've gotten presentations from Robert Madden, our GIS specialist, on this. This is what he does every time capacity request comes in. And this is just the stuff he was able to fit on for this presentation. You can see how it works in conjunction with the hydrograph, how the stuff on the graph below then goes changes that. They can determine exactly how much flow is in each one of the pipes. A lot of people should be congratulated for this. In particular, the engineers who actually did a lot of the work, Dave Hofer and Hap Ryan, but the people who really keep us straight, which is our fiscal unit, Kathy Christopher and Kathleen Green, make sure that all the money is spent properly. And just wanted to let you know that it's a lot of money, $100 million, but it's well spent, because we could find ourselves in the boat of Baltimore. I'll leave you with this. Baltimore just spent several hundred million dollars and listened to a lot of different consultants who said, this is how you should design it. They did all their designs. The EPA came back and said, no, we don't like it. They were designing for a 2-year storm. They said, we want a 10-year storm. So it was all that money was thrown out the window. They just start all over.
Councilman
Warner. Thank you. The first projection when we heard about this 12 years ago was 180, 190 million. It went up for a while, and now the cost, projected cost, has gone down because of the efficiencies that we didn't want to guesstimate early on have been greater than we originally were willing to guarantee. What now, as of today, is the final cost figure, including the 100 million?
That's it. That's everything.
So we've dropped from basically from 190 million down to 100 million?
You gave me that number through February.
But I mean, by the time we still have work to do. What is the total cost projection of the total project?
Maybe another 20 million, I guess.
Another 20 million?
However, what I remember when then Council President Clark, he kept trying to push us to come up with an answer. There's certain things that could happen in the budget in the future that we won't have to budget for, but we're just right now covering ourselves.
So as of today, another 20 million is projected?
I think we're at the stage, Tracy Searles. We just finished the North Delaware Interceptor. Governor Prince is underway. I think really to have a more definitive answer on ultimate cost, once Governor Prince construction is completed, since that's another one of our large interceptors, we can do some monitoring and I think have even more data on what long-term cost is. I think we're excited about the fact that it looks like it's coming down, but I just want to make clear we still have some monitoring to do and likely some convincing with the regulatory agencies as to what our final numbers will be.
And Tracy or John, was the number finally peaked out at 190 million that we were projecting for the 10-year or 20-year project?
It went higher than that when you...
Yeah, there were three phases initially, and I think that maybe through phase two was around the 200 million mark. There was also a phase three anticipated initially that would include rebuilding part of the Wilmington treatment plant that took us over $300 million, I believe. So we're talking about hopefully considerably better results than initially anticipated. But again, I think it's going to take a lot more analysis to finalize.
And we started with a 10-year build-out, then we went to a 20-year build-out starting in 2003. Are we looking at a 10-year build-out now finishing in 2013, or what's the year end for this project, Brandywine Sewer Rehab?
Priority one, which is the Secretary's order, ND34 has to be closed by 2018.
I understand that, but where do we think we are?
We're in 2012 right now. We have that $13.8 million that's under design, ready to go to bid in the next couple years. But once we do our flow monitoring, once that Governor Prince job is done, we may be able to ratchet back some of those projects that we have to perform. We may have the designs that we can just set aside and stretch things out.
Straight, sir.
Wayne. Special services. The only thing I want to caution everybody about is, and we've been very successful, is that having dealt with EPA a few times, they keep moving the goalposts.
Okay.
I was just so... there's two things I want to say. One, it is a moving target. You and I have talked about that. And, but to say Baltimore has a problem, Baltimore has a problem because it's on the Chesapeake Bay, and it's a different region of EPA. And it's on the radar screen more so than it is on the Delaware. So whatever they thought their model was then, nobody knows what the model is for the Chesapeake Bay. So you can say, we went the right path. Problem is, the target is on the Chesapeake Bay, especially with EPA. So, you know, you better look at what problems they're having, because whatever they're having, you're gonna have. I mean, dealing with it through the ag, we don't have the problems on the Delaware that we do going into Chesapeake Bay. Councilman,
John, very good presentation, and I got to say that, you know, when I was elected in 2004, I had no idea that we had this looming infrastructure issue with sewer in the Brandywine 100. But, you know, I think, you know, the department's done a really great job, you know, working with the regulatory issues with Deneric and EPA, and council has been very, very cooperative, helping with the voting the capital bonds to fund the project. So it's been a team effort on all sides of the government. And I guess my only real question right now is, I know we're working on the Governor Prince interceptor, and you know, I'm feeling some constituent calls, and you know, what is the delay there? If you could explain that in some detail.
We shut that down in November because of settlement of soil below a gas pipe that's very close, that was creating voids. If they continue to dig and that void continue to grow, the pipe could eventually sag, break, spark. So they didn't meet the spec. We shut them down.
Okay.
So they gave us a plan that says they could meet it. They started back up yesterday.
Okay. And that's a high pressure gas main that was put in danger by the excavation?
It's not high pressure, low pressure.
Low pressure?
Gas, nonetheless.
Gas, and how big is that remaining there?
I think it's 12 or 18 inch.
Okay.
So they're old. They don't even remember when it was put in.
So then they submitted a plan to support that properly, and now they're resuming.
Yeah, they selected a means and methods to dig their trench, which in some places is 20 feet deep.
Right.
That didn't keep the soil in place when they moved their trench box.
Okay.
We can't tell them how to do the job. As soon as you do that and something doesn't work, it's our nickel. So they finally submitted to our consultants, and our geotechnical engineers said, we'll let you try this next one. They're going to start up, they're going to do two segments of pipe, and we're going to see if the settlement markers sink.
And just so from my knowledge, they're creating a whole new interceptor, and what is the plan with the existing interceptor down the road that's parallel to it?
That can be used if we need it as inline storage or as a relief.
Okay, good. Thank you.
question. I mean, it sounds like we're taking care of this problem, but what are we saying is going to be our next problem? I mean, you had said something with the plant, and that would be more our loads going into the Delaware, like nitrogen and phosphorus. I mean, that's probably going to be the next thing, is how much of a load are we allowing, you know, they're still coming on us, even though the city operates it. I mean, they're asking everybody to reduce their loads. I mean, that's going to be more, that's going to, you know, how do we correct the problem when we don't even own the plant that is taking care of this problem? I mean, we can go through and it's taken care of, yeah, we get it done 12 years earlier than we're 10 years earlier. And you and I have talked about it, that target's going to move. It's not going to be for any 100 anymore. It's going to be some other part of the system or the whole system as a whole as the load going into the Delaware River. What are you doing?
Wayne Mayor, Special Services. There are probably two issues. One is the plant or any of the plants, what discharge into water bodies. That will continue to be more restricted. The other issue is, as John was talking about, is the actual infrastructure. He touched on briefly, we talked about the asset management program, which will be coming to council as time goes on to talk about how we want to continue to never get in a situation like we had in Green 100 to be able to deal with these problems.
Well, this program with the fog and everything, it's got to be on the whole system because we end up having to fail. I mean, and that's, and hopefully we can maintain that, but there still will be another, we're still putting a load into the river. And
John has a question. Do you mean the actual volume or the strength?
I'm talking about, you know, parts per million.
Because of the strength,
nitrogen, phosphorus.
The residential flow pretty much stays the same. We can't change that.
But
we do have a very aggressive industrial pretreatment program, so all the industries have to meet a certain criteria that we follow, which is an EPA guide.
Which is what we're finding in ag is the moving target. So you, what you think you're right on industrial today, tomorrow could be a totally different number.
No, but we can only act off what we have today.
But you can't, yeah, but to say it's not going to happen, welcome to my world. Because it is going to happen. I mean, there's no way around it.
Wayne Mayor, Special Services. You're right. It used to be a lot of times whatever happened in California was going to work its way.
It's the other way around.
Water issues, it's whatever happens in Chesapeake Bay, it affects a lot of everybody else.
Yes.
It's all that
matters. And I just want, so the rest of the council know, taking care of Rennie 100 is not going to take care of the problem that's going to be in the long run. And I think Bob and I have talked with, mm-hmm. you know, the waters of the U.S. changing all of that. It's all part of the Clean Water Act, Clean Water Act. You may have a target today, but it's going to change tomorrow. It's all regulated, and the regulations can be changed by EPA themselves. There's no vote on it. I mean, we never, as ag, never thought phosphorus. We went to no-till. We always were told phosphorus moves when the soil moves. So we went to no-till. We thought the soil's not moving. Now all of a sudden, it's moving again. So, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think what you bring to the table is important to take a look at, you know, some of the things that we may face in the future. But I think what we have to do is look where we are today and look where the department has brought us, as well as this administration, past administrations, this council, past councils. And, you know, we always look at our finance department with AAA bond ratings and how tremendous that is, and they get significant press and acknowledgement. But, you know, if there was a AAA rating for our special services, they've certainly earned it. And I think when you deal with a $100 million project and these folks do a tremendous job in managing the finances, you know, we should be especially proud, I think, of our Special Services Department. And maybe sometime in the future, some of those accomplishments should be marketed more on a public, from the public standpoint, because we always hear about, you know, public safety, finance, and budgets and everything, but unfortunately, you know, you're not always in the kind of the glorious type things. And but I mean, from what I see, I mean, I'm very impressed by the presentation, what we've accomplished. I think you deserve a tremendous amount of credit to the management.
Well, we were happy, but I think we've been asked for a couple hundred more million after talking
to you. No more good news.
just to say, because I'm co-chair, I do bring it up, Councilman Bellows. You probably do a lot in public. I mean, because that's our forte, let's face it, me and Mr. Powers. And I know Wayne, and I'm not going to even say it, but we have very low rates, I'm going to say. Okay, since we're on tape, that's supposed to say the one thing that you've asked me not to say, or somebody has anyway. But, hey, all you got to do, if you combine, everybody wants to talk about taxes and sewer. If you combine a lot of other people's jurisdictions' taxes with the sewers, we're not too bad. And I think we do, you do a great job. I've always voted for, and that's just because I'm a chair, for our special services budget. And it did increase every so often, not every year, but every so often. But I think you're seeing everything that's going up. We're being way proactive. This year was my lowest. Again, I'm both my daughters are gone, so it's a lot. But $139 a year is what I paid. Absolutely, I just couldn't believe it. I paid it the very next day. I had to be either the first or second check back because I said, "This is, in case this is wrong, they can't come back to me." It is a good thing that Mr. Bell has been saying that we do not get out there. And I think county government, as bad as people want to talk about it, you know, and being very prejudiced about it, I'm not denying it, is one of the best governments this country has, all around.
I just want to say, you know, I think it's great getting it done. I guess what I'm just saying is TMDLs is what we're looking at, total maximum daily loads. And I don't think a lot of council understands that. And that's what's going to regulate this whole thing. And what if you look, when we had overflows going straight in there, our load, when I say a load, is the nutrient load going into the river. We're high as hell. So they just eliminated a load. Now they're going to look for the next load. And that's what I'm meaning when I say a load, is when you get in meetings with EPA, which I've been with, all we're looking at is the daily maximum load for that day. That's all we're talking about. I guess now I've been 20 years in it, I'm speaking the same way they did. When I first went in there, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. But that's where I'm just saying, you've got to watch. You just eliminated a load. Now they're going to look for another load. Yeah, I mean, it's good you did it for less money. But it's really in our industry, it's a major problem.
It's a moving target. Like,
oh, yeah. It's going to be for this too. Anybody else have any questions? Any from the public? Any comments from the public? The motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Wait a minute. Councilman Street is present.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.